Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So bail should not be used as punishment, especially not to punish the poor for being poor, right? That's the reason behind New York State's new bail law that took effect January 1st, ending cash bail in most misdemeanor and nonviolent felony cases. People with money could buy their way out while they awaited trial. People without money couldn't. But now, less than a month later, many Republicans and even some progressive lawmakers who voted for the reform in the first place want to go back to the drawing board and add new provisions giving judges more discretion to set bail if they think it should be set. The controversy came to a head after the media highlighted a spate of crimes that law enforcement says would not have taken place if bail was still being set. Here is former New York City Police Commissioner Bill Bratton speaking on WNYC earlier this month.
We are better than this. Our legislature should be better than this. And I hope that there's some leadership up there that basically sits down and starts taking a look at what they created and seeing if they basically created Frankenstein. We need to go back and disassemble Frankenstein and try to put together something that will actually work and not terrorize the community.
Bail reform as Frankenstein, according to Bill Bratton. And even progressive lawmakers, like I said, like the New York State Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins, is now open to making changes.
We're not this one-and-done conference. We've never been that way. That's why we have the hearings that we have, because we want to take a look at reforming the system, but making sure, again, that we do it right. And we are as concerned about these hate crimes as everyone.
And yet, before we bring in our guest, who's going to weigh in on this, Nassau County Executive Laura Curran, here's a clip from the other side. It's New York Assembly Leader, so Andrea Stewart-Cousins' counterpart in the Assembly, who would also have to sign off on any changes, and so far he is not, Carl Hastie, who would not support amending the law as of now. He says the new bail law has given judges more opportunities to have more interaction between the court system and an accused person up until the day of trial.
Even when a judge releases somebody, there's a myriad of things that a judge can do. We've actually given judges more opportunities to have interaction between the court system and an accused person up until the day of the trial than we did before we passed
the law. So things like an ankle bracelet or just checking in.
Right. You can have people can check in. You can have curfews. You can have people have, stay at home, all the way up to electronic monitoring under the instances of a felony or in certain cases around domestic violence.
Speaker Carl Hastie on Spectrum News. With me now, Laura Curran, the Nassau County Executive. Executive Curran, welcome back to WNYC. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And for people who never leave Brooklyn, you oversee one of the largest counties in the country with one of the largest suburban police forces. What have you been hearing from police you work with about bail reform?
So, yeah, we have about 1.4 million constituents here in Nassau County, about 2,500 sworn police officers in our police department. And what I'm hearing is, we need to take a hard look at the reform and offer some common sense recommendations. I've been speaking with our Long Island Senate delegation. In fact, I've spoken with all of them in the past 24 hours. I've spoken with Andrea Stewart-Cousins a few times about the issue, and we're assembling a coalition of law enforcement experts, advocates, and others to come up with some real common sense solutions. And I think one thing we're hearing a lot of good suggestions. Something that keeps coming up is judicial discretion. We've seen people released, reoffending, and that's why I understand that judicial discretion is so important.
Correction on the Bratton clip. Listeners, that was from John Catsimatidis' radio show on AM 970, not from WNYC, just for the record. And we can take phone calls. First priority will go to people in Nassau County in this case, but anybody may call to speak with Nassau County Executive Laura Curran. at 212-433-WNYC. Her take on reforming bail reform, 212-433-9692. How would you respond to the clip we played of Speaker Hastie, who says this law gives judges more opportunities to have more interaction between the court system and an accused person, including things like ankle bracelets and checking in?
Well, one problem that we've seen is that sometimes people don't show up for the ankle bracelet, for the ankle monitor. So something that we've implemented here in Nassau County is if the judge says, yes, this person needs an ankle monitor, that gets on right in the courthouse so that there's not the danger that the person will not come back. We also want to make sure that there's proper review. If, you know, one idea that has been out there is there should be some sort of process to review a judge's decision on bail.
Since January 1st, the media have highlighted a number of crimes they say would not have happened if the judge had been allowed to set bail. One of the cases at the center of the debate has been about a woman who was arrested New Year's Eve for assaulting Hasidic Jews on the street. She'd apparently been arrested two other times before that in recent days, also for assault. Is this a case that gave you pause, or do you have things even closer to home in Nassau County that you think are analogous?
Well, we had one case of a young woman who, just 20, 21-year-old woman, who kept getting arrested for various offenses. I mean, she has mental health issues. Even her mom said, this is a young woman who needs help. So she, you know, threw a brick through a 7-Eleven window, got out. Then she ran through a school, broke into a school, tripped the fire alarm, got out. And her mother was even saying, what's going on here? We're also seeing cases, you know, we have a opiate problem here in Nassau County that we've been combating. And one of the ways that we can really get at that is through giving people, users and addicts, a chance for diversion. So if you're arrested on a drug charge and you say, look, I've got a problem, you have a chance to go through diversion to get treatment. Now you get picked up, you get out, and you're out to use again. I mean, that's something that very much concerns me.
Well, that's if you don't make bail, right? The argument about bail, essentially, is that it penalizes the poor. So if somebody is a drug addict and can afford the $10,000 that the bail is set at, they can go out and use again in the way you described. If somebody is lower income and they can't afford the $10,000, then they're going to be stuck in jail. Why is that okay?
Well, that's where it comes to the discussion about implementing a process of immediate review of a judge's decision on bail. If it's too harsh, then that's something that can be reviewed. But I do believe that the justice system has tilted unfairly for people of color, for people, you know, who are poor in the past. And it's going to take a lot of hard work to reset the system. It's not going to happen overnight. But we want to make sure that we're not moving too quickly, doing everything at once. We want to make sure that we're making sure that people who need the supervision are supervised and also keeping our communities safe.
Let's take a phone call. It looks like this is Susan from the New York Civil Liberties Union in Nassau County. Susan, you're on WNYC with County Executive Laura Curran. Hello.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
How you doing, County Executive?
Hey, Susan, how are you?
I'm okay. Statistics show that people who are able to stay out of jail go on to lead much more productive lives, and we at the Civil Liberties Union are also concerned about the fact that this does criminalize poverty, and that people who are already, can afford to pay bail and who might be dangerous are already been getting out and have been getting out. So this really does criminalize poverty. So I was wondering if you could talk to, the issue of people who would, when you stay out of jail, it doesn't expose you to those harsh conditions, and you have much more of a chance to lead a productive life. And so we're looking for ways to solve that problem. The rhetoric is amped up around this. And I think that we all need to be dealing a little bit more realistically. So I wonder if you could be speaking to some of that.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, Susan, and I do believe that the court should use the least restrictive means possible to make sure that a defendant, that a person returns to court. But judges should have discretion, I believe. You know, when a person commits the same crime over and over and over again, the judge should be able to make the case for supervision of the defendant and for the security of the community. And, you know, we've seen in Nassau County, before these reforms were implemented, we've seen a sort of slow and steady reduction in our jail population. And, you know, there are cases. I mean, we heard about the case in New York City where there was a young man who was accused of stealing a backpack who didn't have the $500, languished in jail for 3 years. You know, that $500 for that young man may as well have been $50,000. We haven't seen those kinds of cases in Nassau, but we have been seeing people being released, reoffending, and that's why I believe judicial discretion is so important.
Susan, thank you for your call. Also to that point, here's another clip of Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie. He's referring here to the woman who is serially punching Hasidic Jews, but he puts it in the context of what we were just talking about.
The person who, they called him the serial puncher. This is somebody who clearly needs, mental health services, and the judge had the opportunity. The DA, the judge, or the defense attorney can ask for a mental health observation, and clearly that's what happened because now this person is getting the mental health services that they deserve. But the convenient thing and the political thing for people to do is to blame the law.
Speaker Hastie. So County Executive Kern, he's arguing that the judge had an opportunity to ask for mental health observation, but didn't do it. So how much do you agree that it's easier for people to blame the law than to think about the intricacies and the opportunities for the judges in each case, like in that case, mental health intervention, maybe in the case you were citing, drug rehab intervention, things like that?
A lot of, it's no secret, a lot of people who commit crimes have mental health issues, have substance abuse issues, and one of our senators, Senator Anna Kaplan, actually is putting in legislation to make sure people get the treatment that they need. That's something that I would support. There's another issue that we really need to look at, and that's the issue of discovery. We want to ensure, that the constitutional right that prosecutors have to give information that could limit someone's liberty. We want to ensure that they have enough time to prepare and to respond so that a case isn't dismissed on a technical violation instead of on the merits. And that's something I think we need to take a hard look at as well.
Let's take another phone call. Ray in Nassau County, or on WNYC with County Executive Kern. Hi, Ray.
Hi, good morning, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
County Executive, this is Ray Aurora. It's nice to speak with you.
Oh, hello, Ray.
Just want to say thank you so much for your support of this reform. I'm a Democrat as well, but I don't understand this legislation, and I really hope we do something to repeal it because it's making our county less safe, and it betrays, the main reason why we're in Nassau County is because of the safety and the education, and I think this is a terrible law that was passed.
So, Ray, would you like to see people of different means treated differently by the criminal justice system? Because that's the central issue on the table. The example I was using before, if the same person who committed the same assault, let's say, can afford their bail, they're getting out. The person who can't afford the bail is going to sit there until trial.
Brian, I don't think that should happen, but I think it's an issue that has to be studied, and I think this was rushed. I don't want to see somebody who's wealthy get out for a crime that somebody who is less wealthy has to stay in jail for. But unfortunately, it seems like this law was rushed, and there are multiple instances where people have now been released and recommitting that same crime, as the county executive was mentioning. It's a complicated issue, and I think it needs proper attention and proper due diligence, and it hasn't happened. I mean, we have task force, and we have committees, and we have meetings, but we didn't. This was rushed, and I think there's a way of achieving criminal justice reform without rushing legislation that makes our communities less safe.
Ray, let me ask you one more follow-up question. Would you like to see dangerousness of the individual as perceived by the judge to be taken into account in setting bail or not setting bail, because it is not currently taken into account under the law?
I would like to, I'm sorry, the first, you said criminal history?
The dangerousness of the person as the judge sees the person.
Absolutely. I don't see how that's not relevant. You know, I think bail is now set up where it's only based on whether a person is likely to appear, and not and doesn't account for their history and the dangerous their potential. I think that should absolutely be considered.
Thank you so much for your call. We really appreciate it. And County Executive Curran, is that the X factor here that kind of underlies this conversation? Because for people who haven't followed the bail reform debate closely, they may not realize that under New York state law, dangerousness. May not be taken into account as a criterion for holding a person until trial. It is only flight risk. It is only whether the person is likely to appear, you know, at their trial, et cetera, or considered likely to flee. So is that the reform? I think there's a bill from Suffolk County State Senator Monica Martinez that would completely eliminate cash bail, but allow judges to decide case by case whether someone should be held pre-trial because they're a risk.
I think that is absolutely something to consider, the dangerousness, and that's something that we're communicating, that I'm communicating with our senators, having very constructive conversations with our senators. I know they're looking for common sense changes, too. And you know, I think it's time to take a deep breath. What's working? What's not working? Clearly, some reforms, some changes were needed. You know, from a practical point of view, on the ground here in Nassau, you know, we have a police department, we have a jail, we have a sheriff's department. So we're really looking at the implementation gaps. What is it that we need from the legislature? What kind of tweaks do we need to make sure that what you were just talking about, dangerousness, is it a risk to our community? Is it a risk to our public safety? Let's fix those. Let's fix those, fill those gaps. Now the legislature is back in session. You know, here at the county level, we spent about $5 million in preparing. As soon as this became law, in April, we have been having regular meetings on how we implement this, how we deal with it, what resources do our probation officers need. We've funded 8 extra probation officers. What resources does our district attorney need? We made sure that her office got what it needs. Now that it's happening, we need to really take a deep breath, make some common sense changes, and work very closely with our legislators up in Albany.
Our criminal justice reporter, Beth Fertig, passed me an interesting question just now. It says New York City needs to find a way to run ankle monitoring itself after finding a private contractor. They claim they only got guidance for how to do this from the Office of Court Administration in December. So if they're letting people out on bail, but keeping track of them through ankle monitoring, they don't have that system in place yet. At first, they thought they would have to hire a nonprofit because they can't pass the cost on to defendants. So the question for you is, I believe Nassau already does this, and how do you do it, and is it working out, and is there something the city could learn from Nassau County?
Well, we're doing it right now in the courthouse. So that it reduces the chances of someone not returning to get the ankle monitor, and I think that's that's something that we're finding is working. We implemented that pretty quickly.
Do you know who pays, or if it's been expensive? Because Beth gathers that having to pay a private contractor for the equipment and run this out of the sheriff's office could get pretty expensive.
You know, that's something I don't have the answer. I'm not sure exactly who pays for the ankle monitor.
All right. I want to change topics, but ask you something that's related and kind of adjacent, because it also has to do with when people who are arrested or even convicted for things should be taken out of society. This month, as you may know, ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement at the federal level, renewed its call for New York City and other sanctuary cities to comply with immigration subpoenas, that is information about inmates wanted for deportation. And this comes after a number of subpoenas were sent to seek information about inmates recently released, despite immigration officials requesting that the city turn them over to deportation. They had committed grisly crimes in some cases. One had assaulted, well, the one really in the news now from the other day, after this person was released, rather than being sent to ICE for deportation proceedings. That person, as I'm sure you've heard, assaulted and murdered a 92-year-old woman in Queens. So here's the acting director of ICE, Matthew Albence, last Friday at a press conference in the city.
It is this city's sanctuary policies that are the sole reason this criminal was allowed to roam the streets freely and end an innocent woman's life.
And here's Mayor de Blasio's response last night on New York One.
A tragedy happened here. And I feel horrible for any family that goes through such a tragedy. But the problem I have here is there's an effort being made to politicize this situation, to take a policy which is actually meant to protect people and has protected people. We are the safest big city in America because of policies like this. And use it as fodder for what is nothing less than a political effort by ICE.
So, County Executive Curran, is Nassau County a sanctuary county?
We are not a sanctuary county. And by the way, I have an answer for the ankle bracelets. The county pays. The county pays for the ankle bracelets.
Thank you.
I just didn't want to leave that out there. However, one thing I will say about Nassau County that, you know, we're people in New York City might not understand. We have really good relations between our police and our communities. And we have a policy that is incredibly important that our police department has had. And we want to make sure that all of our immigrant communities know this, that if you are the victim, if you are a witness or you have information about a crime, your immigration status is irrelevant. And that is important to continue to build the trust between our communities and the law enforcement that is supposed to look after them, right? If people are afraid to come forward, and this is something else that it concerns me about the new discovery rules. If people are afraid to come forward, crime gets worse, right? It gets worse for the family, it gets worse for the community, it becomes less safe for the police officers who are there to protect them. One thing we have is we've established an Office of Crime Victims. This is brand new on the heels of this legislation up in Albany to ensure that victims and witnesses of crimes are protected and that they do feel safe coming forward.
Here's one more thing that the mayor said on New York One.
ICE has left behind any semblance of being an objective agency dealing with things from the perspective of substance and policy. ICE has become highly politicized, is basically at this point a wing of the Trump campaign.
Is that your experience as county executive in Nassau with ICE, that it's become basically a wing of the Trump campaign?
We in Nassau County, we work with our federal partners, we work with federal law agencies, but again, the way that law enforcement is perceived in Nassau County is generally, and I'm not, you know, obviously nothing is 100%, we do have trust between our law enforcement, between our police department, and the communities.
And we will leave it there with Laura Curran, the Nassau County Executive. We always appreciate when you come on. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity, Brian.